greetings that are kind of neat, because we begin, actually, the book of Hebrews, chronologically, would be the first reading, because it talks about Abraham as the father of faith. And Abraham was given all of these promises. And it said, you know, he was an old man. Nothing was happening. And the Lord promised him to be a person of many nations and many people. So the last line of today's reading said, and he placed an hope in Isaac. And he trusted God for Isaac, that Isaac would procreate. And then if we go on to the scriptures, it's not until Jacob that we had the 12 tribes of Israel. And from there it spread. But he trusted in God. And the scriptures tell us that he was wandering. He was wandering. They did not receive what they had promised, but saw it and greeted it from afar. The promise was there, and they greeted that promise from afar. So they were way behind the curve. And it goes on and says, and acknowledged themselves to be strangers and aliens on earth. They were wandering. They were wandering. Abraham didn't settle down. He was wandering. I think we have to understand that. You know, Vatican II came out. They talked about us being a pilgrim people that were on a journey. We heard it, you know, this week. We're just passing through this land. We're walking on this land. We're wandering on this land. We're not to be rooted here. Not to be established here. Then the first reading from wisdom. I think that's kind of neat, because we have a tendency to miss the implications of the Exodus. The covenant was made. But what did the Lord tell the people to do? I don't know if I have wisdom. I don't think I have wisdom, Mark. But I wanted to read this. Wisdom. The night of the Passover was known beforehand to our ancestors, that with sure knowledge of the oath in which they put their faith, they might have courage. The night of the Passover, it was a preparation. What were they doing? Preparing for a journey. They were going to walk on a journey. And we have a tendency to think of the that covenant meal. There's all kinds of things in there. You know, if you're too small of a family, get together with your neighbor. I'm looking for a family. I'm looking for a family. Share your land with one another. Share your goods with one another. The intimacy of that. And prepare to be leaving. I think it's neat that we stand, because that covenant meal was eaten standing. They were standing when they were eating, ready for the journey. They were anticipating leaving, moving out. Sometimes we can sit on our butts here at liturgy and not understand. We should be standing and eating and get our butts out there. You know, on the journey, we're pilgrim people. We're not to become sedentary, you know, and get settled. Nice chairs in the conference room. we can just settle in. Yeah. So we're a people that we have been called to participate in the ministry of Jesus, and that's the gospel message. We're called to participate in the mission of Jesus, and not to sit around on our butts, on our behinds, and become fat cats. And so when Jesus gives that word in the gospel, we see? No. Gird your loins, light your lamps. I think we've heard it a lot. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father was pleased to give you the kingdom. We already have the kingdom. It's just not here. It's just not here. So as we walk through this land, we're to be kingdom people. We're to see ourselves on that journey together. And we're called, again, if somebody doesn't have enough to eat, to feed them. Share the lamb with them. That's a supper. Share the lamb with them. We're called to that. That's the journey. That's the message. And again, you know, blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. It's not just taking care of the servant. Again, I said earlier, it's a lifestyle. Do I have the heart of the master? Do I have the heart? Do I have the concern of the master? If the master has entrusted us to take care of his prized possessions, one another, then we're called to that. Would you let a pedophile babysit your child? Or any child? But we see here, when the Lord has entrusted us with that authority and that mission and that gift, we have to be faithful to it. Because it's very easy to abuse that power, to abuse that authority. That's what we've been going through. It's that simple. But the abuse of the power and authority, huh? You see? That servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming. That means we lose sight of who we are. We lose sight of who we are, and we think we become the master. And therefore, you know, we can abuse that authority and abuse that power. You know, beat the men servants and the maid servants. We get to eat and drink and get drunk. We think we're the master. We think we're the master. And we have to die to ourselves so that we can understand what we are about and what we're doing is not us. It's Jesus. It's the Lord. When Jesus said, sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out. Sell your money and give alms. He says, don't place our trust in the things of this world. Sell that. He says, get rid of them. I'm entrusting you to the kingdom of God, not to the things of this earth. Many times we make the kingdom about this earth and about our treasures and about what we do and what we can accomplish. That's not it. We're just passing through. We're just passing through. The thing is, when we pass through, we're to leave things behind us. Take the people with us. Leave the things behind us. Take the people with us. And we trust for everything. Trust God. I think it's a simple mission that the Lord has given us. It's just to be Christ. To be based in the Lord. And to walk with this journey on our back, on the way back to our Father. The theme of our conference says we're to be a partner with Christ. Partners in grace. Continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right that I should think this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. You who are all partners with me in grace, both imprisonment, and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. So we're to be one with Paul as we share that mission. And he says, you know, when you give to the poor in Rome, that's a part of our mission. You know, that's what we're doing. And he gave an account for that. You know, when you do this, that's a part of our mission. It's an our thing. It's a we thing. It's not a me thing or an I thing. There's never a Jesus and me. Well, we can say Jesus and me, but it's a Jesus and we. Because of the trick question that he asks, will you love my brothers and sisters? So if I say yes to Jesus, I have to say yes to brothers and sisters. That's a trick question. Will you minister to my brothers and sisters? That's what he's saying. He's, you know, will you follow me in that way? I never could understand why the washing of the feet was never a sacrament. Probably should be. Because it's a ministry of service that Jesus gave us an example to follow. And that means humbling yourself, stripping ourselves down, kneeling down, taking the junk off, the clothing off, and getting dirty and wet. Roll up sleeves and walk that way. That's commanded by the Lord, no matter what anyone else will tell us or try to deflect to us. That's the simple command of the Lord. Will you serve my people? Will you serve them? And we do that, again, when we say yes, then he empowers us. You ever work with somebody who gave you a responsibility but never empowered you to do that? I was a vicar in the southern end of the state, and I resigned because at any time I would try to challenge a person, I was not backed. I had the authority, but it wasn't backed. Consequently, nothing happened. Jesus has given us the authority and the power to do what he has done. As a matter of fact, John's a gospel. You see the works I do? You must do, and far greater than these, because I've entrusted you with my power. I've entrusted you with my spirit. And so we carry that spirit of God within us on this journey back to our Father. I think it's kind of neat because we can share ministry with one another and not get caught up on who draws the biggest crowd or who's in a limelight or anything of that. You know, it's a very simple thing. We're all in it together. The journey's not finished to the last ones inside the gate. And so even if we're there, then we're beckoning, you know. And that's what we call the communion of saints. We have them to look forward to, but they're the ones that are drawing us too. And so we can rely upon them for help. I think we've said it in so many ways, but not too specifically. And we've heard it in many ways. Pray, 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 pray. This is a prayer movement. And prayer is to change us so that we can have the heart of God. Pray for everyone. Pray for the good. Pray for the bad. Pray for every circumstance, every situation, good or bad, that we can